Okay, this week is Parshas B'Shalach. It's also very special parsha, special Shabbos, in that it is Tu B'Shvat. Now, we discussed this week the minhag of feeding the birds. Spent a whole shiur on this, where it comes from, the various makaros. I'll just run through very quickly. The makar for feeding the birds comes from the Maral. Maral, I think, even predated the Arizal, and the Maral will live at the same time the Arizal, practically that Tkufa a little bit before, I think. And the Maral told us, Maral, he was the one who instituted the minhag. He would gather all of the children in the courtyard of the Beis Medrash, of the Beis HaKnesset, or the Cheder, and the Melamdim would teach the children about Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Melamdim would then give the children kernels of wheat and instruct the children to feed the birds on Shabbos. Why? Because the Medrash says, as Klal Yisrael passed through the Yam, after the Yam split, and they marched through the Yam, miraculously trees blossomed, and the children and adults plucked off fruit off the trees, ate the fruit, and from the leftover fruit they threw it to the birds, because the birds were singing, were chirping along with Bnei Yisrael as they were passing through the Yam. So to reenact what happened at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, where the children, specifically the children, took fruits, like you always pack for the children's snacks. I'm sure you go with your children, you go in the car, you gotta pack snacks for the kids. So the children needed some snacks on their way through the Kriyas Yamsuf, through passing through the Yam. They took off an apple, a pear, a peach, whatever was available. They ate it, and from the leftover, I don't know if birds like fruits, doesn't say, or maybe they were kernels of wheat, whatever it was, they gave some of the leftovers to the birds, and therefore we reenact this. That's what the Maral instructed the Malamdim to do, to gather the children on Shabbos, to teach them the story, to tell them the Medrash, and to reenact the Sminik by giving the birds kernels of wheat. Okay, that's one makar. The other makar, what?
The source
that Medrash
instituted that
it's this is what is the where is it cited?
I don't think it's in
I don't have it with me, but I can definitely find you the source. I saw this at least in two places, which where the source is. But this is recorded.
Him saying that.
So no, it's not. Now, this is not related to Rusha. You're right. That's just a side point. It happens to be. Just want to point out that's a side point. And the other reason we gave for feeding the birds is Dasan va'aviram. Dasan va'aviram went out and they wanted to undermine Moshe. They had hana in telling the world, causing tsar to the Rav. This was their hana. So Moshe says that there's not going to be mun on Shabbos. So to show that Moshe is a liar, they took some of their mun and they went out early in the morning and they hid it out in the fields. And then they told everyone, "No, I'm going to show you that Moshe is a liar. The mun falls on Shabbos as well. Let's go out into the fields and you'll see that there's mun." And lo and behold, they go out into the fields. The mun wasn't there. What happened? But they put it out. They put out their own portion. The birds came, saved the day. Hashem dispatched the birds to come and take the mun and to chop the mun. Okay, this is the other reason given. But I want to tell you another drush of why we feed. So if we feed the birds, and we discussed at great length, is it mutter, is it also the mission of Paskin, saying you're not going to do it on Shabbos, you have to do it before Shabbos. And we discussed the Chazonish, the incredible Chiddush Halacha L'Maaseh, so you can, it's mutter, and just don't feed it directly, feed it indirectly, that's the whole share. The Shitas Haran, that's the buzzword. All you got to say is, what about the Ran? And then you'll see someone get very worked up. So all you gotta say, if you wanna get someone worked up to this guy, oh, it's Osir. It's Osir. You're not allowed to feed the birds on Shabbos. Ein mizaynoisav olecha. So all you gotta say to him is, and what about the Ran? So all you have to say, what about the Ran? We went to that day. Okay. There's no pasuk. Okay, it's okay. Okay, we're not going to this. I just want to tell you another drush. The other drush goes back to, why is it that we are zaycha to Eretz Yisrael? Where does it all come from? Where does the whole union of Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, where do the two come together? It all comes from the time of the Bris Ben Absarim. Avraham Avinu was very sad. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, after the miracle where Avraham was able to overpower the four kings in great miracles, great conquest. Moshe was able to save Lot. He wiped out the four kings, which in turn wiped out the five, which before wiped out the five kings. Avraham basically conquered the entire civilized world. Nisim v'niflos. And Avraham says to the Ribbono shel Olam, "Ma titen li? V'anochi holech ariri. It's not worth anything. I don't have a legacy. Very good, miracles, I conquered the world, but I'm an old man, I have no children, who's going to inherit my accomplishments? Who's going to teach the world about Yadus? Eliezer? Damesek Eliezer?" So Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "Do not worry, you're going to have a child. Don't say that. Count the stars. You're going to have a child." And what did Avraham say? Nothing. Vehemin b'Hashem. Emunah, I believe you, Ibrahim. I believe you. Okay. And then Hashem says to Avram, guess what? Not only are you going to have children, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. And what does Avram say? Really? B'mo'eda ki iroshena. Chazal are not happy with this. When it came to the children, Vehemin b'Hashem. When it came to Eretz Yisrael, I'm not a believer anymore. B'mo'eda. So Hashem says, okay, we'll make a bris. You don't trust me? I'm not good for my word? I'm good for my word. Trust me. Let's make a bris. They made the bris bein habasarim. Bring a set of animals. Now we're not going to go through all the animals. And bring a bird. And Hashem told Avraham Avinu to take all the animals, the three different types of animals, and break them into parts. And we're going to walk between the parts, as was the custom. When one makes a bris, you take an object and you split it into two. And the two parties walk. There's a procession, it's a ceremony, it's a procedure. And they walk in between the parts, and this is how we make a bris. The Shekhinah passed, Avraham passed. But, v'yeshat tzipor loy bosar. The tzipor loy bosar. And Rashi on the Pasuk tells us, what is this all about? The ayin panim l'Torah. Rashi alludes that this is way beyond us, what's going on here by the bris ben Avsarim. But it also alludes to that the animals, the various animals that Avraham was told to collect represent the umos ha'olam. And the umos ha'olam will be broken into pieces. It is symbolic of the fact that their end will come. The umos ha'olam that caused pain and suffering to the Jewish people, the day will come when they will be destroyed, they will be shattered. But v'yeshat tzipor loy basar. The tzipor represents Klal Yisrael. They will never be broken. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. They will remain forever. And all of this was all part of the bris bein habasarim, which was the guarantee that Klal Yisrael will come into Eretz Yisrael. What is Kriyas Yamsaf? What is happening over here in this week's parasha? The entire bris bein habasarim is being fulfilled in its utmost. Paro, which was the world power, which represents the Umos Olam, it is the prototype, it is the model, this is all morale talk, this is all the model for the Umos Olam, is destroyed. They're all wiped out in the Yam. Everyone, the Kriyas Yamsaf, they're destroyed. The Umos Olam, are animals are being broken, they're being pulverized. Klal Yisrael is coming out unscathed. And where are they going? Where is their destination? All of this happening to Eretz Yisrael. All this is all mamish. The fulfillment of the bris bein habasarim. And what is the bris bein habasarim? V'yes hatzipor loivosar. That's the high note. That is the high note. V'yes hatzipor loivosar. That is why on Shabbos Shira, you feed the birds. You have to, what do you destroy? You want to give them food. You have to focus. You have to make the birds happy. You have to give them food and sustenance and participate, rejoice with them, because the birds represent us. They represent us. It represents the essence of what is happening here on this Shabbos. In this Shabbos, we are reenacting the fulfillment of the bris bein habasarim, which ends off with the beautiful note of v'yeshat tzipor loy basar. And the tzipor loy basar can be translated into v'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. And therefore, it's the Shabbos of the birds. Literally. and we have to be misaneach with the birds. Okay, so this is a drush, another drush why we celebrate what? Doesn't say this. We have to celebrate with the birds. Okay, this is one drush. Now we'll now go to another idea. Now this is a he'ora, an observation. I have not worked it out, and I challenge you to dimashlem the vart. Think of a good deeper meaning to the world. I'll just give you some Rashi Proki. This is a short observation. We learned this week about the Mon. Parshas Haman. Let me just jump to the Pasuk of Hinani Mamti Lechem Lechem Nashamayim. Okay, here we are in Perik Tezayin, Pasuk Dalit. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, do not worry about Parnosa. I'm going to provide you with Parnosa. Hinani Mamti Lechem Lechem Nashamayim, Pasuk Dalit. The Yatz of Alok to Dvar Yom Biyomo. Rashi says, Rashi says something very interesting here. I can only find it.
Pasuk Dalet?
Pasuk Dalet, yes. You don't have to look inside. It's okay. You just can listen. Where is this Pasuk? Give me 1 second. Oh, here it is. Okay. Got it. Okay. Let's go to the beginning of the parak. The beginning of the parak is Parak Aleph. Vayisu me elim vayavo kol adas bnei shol el midbar sin asher bein elim uvein sinoi. I'm now learning a chumash. Parshas Beshalach. Chumash, you don't need a chumash. It's okay. So we're starting here. They travel to Elim. Vayavo kol adas bnei shol el midbar sin asher bein elim uvein sinoi. Vachamisha osa yom achidesh hasheni iyor. Let's say Sami Eretz Mishram. Okay, very good. They have arrived in the Midbar. They're in the desert. It's probably very hot. There's no food. There's no water. And now the miracles are over. And now they're getting a little bit worked up. Vayiloinu kol adas bnei Yisrael al Moshe v'Aaron b'Midbar v'yom aleihem bnei Yisrael mi yitein musenu v'yad Hashem b'yeretz Mitzrayim b'shivteinu al sir ha-basar b'yachleinu lechem l'soiva. Terrible words. Complaining, we had a good life in Egypt. We had food. We had sir habasar biachlin lachem l'soiva ki hoytesem oisane al midbar hazel lehamis es kolakol hazeborov. Rashi says, why all of a sudden now are they complaining? It's been a month. It's been a month since they left. They left Mitzrayim on, that was last week's parasha, on Tesvav Nisan. It's now a month later. So a month later, now you're complaining. If you want to complain, you should have complained last week, 2 weeks ago. Why now? What now? So that's very simple. Nisparish hayoim shel chaniya zo lefi shebo bayom kol sahacharara shayitzim mitzrayim vuhutzru chulman. The matzah ran out. Vayoif ues habotzeik asher hayitzim mitzrayim ugos matzos kiloi chometz matzah. They had matzah for 30 days. The matzah ran out. And now, no more food. Now we're going to complain. Okay, Hashem says, I'm going to provide for you food, man, every day for the next 40 years. You'll gather the man.
Even Ezra, Zion.
We're not doing Ezra now.
Close the Ezra. We're not doing
that. So, now let me jump first forward. Later, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, Pasuk says that they ate man for 40 years. The Gemara asked a question. They ate man for 40 years. Make a calculation. It was not 40 years. It was 39 and change. It was not 40. So the Gemara says the answer is the matzah had the time of man. The matzah was also a din man. It was also, that's what it says. It had the taste of man. The man is a spiritual. Oh, I'll come to that. It's a very good part. I'm talking about that. They had man. So it comes out you have two different types of man. We have mon, matzamon.
Matzamon.
What?
That's a second
matzah. The matzah
was man-made butter. The matzah, no, there's no nace in the matzah, but all we know, Chazal tell us, one we have to acknowledge, the Pasuk says they ate mon for 40 years. The Gemara asked the question, it's not true, they did not eat mon for 40 years. How can the Torah say mon for 40 years? The Gemara answers, they ate matzah. They, you know, the time they did not eat mon, they ate matzah. matzah, and the matzah had the taste, the flavor of man. In other words, it wasn't your ordinary matzah. It wasn't shatzah matzah. It was different matzah. It had a different taste. A different taste. It tasted like man, and that's why...
It was man shevet.
It was man shevet matzah. Ooh, what a line. It had spiritual properties. So the question, so that's what now. Let's say, so you asked a very good question. Mr. Rapport asked a very good question. What bracha do we make on the man? So the truth now, what bracha do you make on bread? We make hamotzi lechem min haaretz. On matzah, you make a special bracha, al achilas matzah. What bracha do they make? So this is debated by the major commentators. Some say they made the bracha, baruchat ha-shem lechem min chulam, hamotzi lechem min ha-shamayim. They made lechem min ha-shamayim. That's what it says. That was the bracha. Other mefarshim say, they didn't make a bracha at all. Make a bracha, Chazal instituted brachas, things that are products of this world, man-made. This comes straight from the source. There is no bracha. There was no bracha. And with this, they explain the pasuk later on, Vayanecha, pasuk in Parshas Ekev, if I'm not mistaken, Vayanecha Vayariveka, Hashem afflicted you, Vayachilcha es hamon asher lo yodat, v'lo yodu'un avosecha, l'man hadiyacha ki lo yodalechem, l'man yichyodam ki akol mosafi Hashem yichyodam. Hashem afflicted you, Hashem tortured you. By giving you the man, Hashem tortured. How could you say such a thing? So there are many explanations. The simple explanation is, the man, where did the man fall? So the Gemara tells us, it depends on your spiritual level. If you were a tzaddik, it fell right in front of your door. If you're somewhere in the middle, you came late to Maariv last night, you came late to Shacharis, it didn't fall in the front door, you had to go to Avenue J to find the man. If you did a very big avero, you had a fight with your wife last night, and you didn't give in, you didn't tell her that you're right, then guess you had to go to Canarsie to find the man. The man was all the way, and if you had a really big fight, you had to go all the way to Lakewood to find the man. It didn't come easy. It all depends on you. So therefore, what happened? Before a person did an avera, he thought a little bit. You know, it's not kedai for me to do this avera, because I do this avera, I'm going to go for a walk. And you know what? I can use the exercise. But you know something? I don't want my neighbor to see that I went for a walk, because they're not going to give me shlishi. You know, I'm the big guy in shul. I normally get shira. It's parash b'shalach. I don't want them to. They'll see that I have to walk all the way to the Satmar cheder to get my man. Oh no! Then I'm an avarian. Look, the guy over here, he gets the man to his front door. They're not going to give me. Not going to give me tomorrow my aliyah. So therefore, I'm going to behave myself. But it's torture every single day to behave yourself, to be on that madrega. Now, of course, in the long run, it's the greatest thing in the world, but it's hard. It's hard to be oymed b'nisayon every single day. I need a break. I need, you know, some time off. It's hard. This was the affliction. That is the pasha pshat, according to many interpretations. But there's a deeper pshat. Then there's another pshat they didn't see. Like, we know that the hanov of eating is to see the food. Right? If you go, yes, I went yesterday from when we were eating, totally eating a delicious corned beef sandwich. It was more enjoyable to look at the delicious corned beef sandwich on club with mustard and the toothpick stuck inside than actually taste it. I'm sure the hanom, I would give you something synthetic. You can't, it tastes exactly like the corned beef sandwich, but you can't see it. There's no hanah. Even though they can mechashev any type of food that they want, and that would be the taste of the man, you can't see it. You're missing something. It was an inui. It was painful to eat the man. There's something unsatisfying. That's okay, that's all. But there's a very deep shot. That's what I want to address, Mr. Rapport's question. You know why they suffered when they ate the man? Because they didn't make a bracha. The greatest hana you have in this world, the greatest hana is where you earn your keep. If you receive handouts, it may be fun the first time, but it's no fun taking handouts. The hana of this world is to earn your keep. Now, there are many ways to earn your keep. The ultimate is you have a job and you work hard and you earn your keep. You know, there are different types of jobs. They say, this is the Bali Musa say this, no way do I ask you to take me seriously in today's times. I'm just telling you what it says in the Bali Musa. Okay? Again, don't hold me to this. Is that it's much greater hana to do work, slave labor work, and earn less than minimum wage than to be a brilliant professor and make hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Because when you make hundreds of millions of dollars a year for twiddling your thumbs, it's not really, you don't have really earned your money. Okay, yeah, education, it's a process, it's the way society is set up.
It's called productive satisfaction.
Okay, so, yeah, don't get me wrong, believe me, I would love to go on that track where you go through a system and you work, you get an education and you work hard and hard and hard and you come to a certain point where you sit back, CEO, and you have a billion people that work under you and you just sign the checks. Okay, in a chanami, that's not really called earning your keep in the minds of the major Balei Musar. If you schlep water, you're a water carrier, and you bring water from one location to another, and they give you 10 cents, and for that 10 cents you go and you buy a loaf of bread, you've earned your keep. You have labor, it's physical, crushing labor to earn honestly. That's an honest penny. That's the real. When you eat, that you bite into that piece of bread that you have earned by breaking your back to carry the water a mile to earn 10 cents to buy a morsel of bread, that is hana. That is pleasure. That is the ultimate pleasure. We'll feed the Balei Musa. Now, let's take it to another level. Okay, we don't live that type of life. Baruch Hashem, we don't aspire for that. We don't want that. We're not that madrega. We do what we have to do. Okay, let's say a person merits that he has parnas, whatever he has, entitlements, whatever he has, chas, whatever he has, whatever he has. The very least, the very bare minimum of having hana in this world is at least you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't deserve this. You gave this piece of bread. Let me at least make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. The Gemara says that before you everything LaHashem Haaretz Umeloya. To Hashem is the world in its fullness. It's gezel for you to eat a piece of bread. It's gezel. But on the other hand, it says in the pasuk Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem Yaretz Nosan Lishnei Adam. It's yours. Hashem gave it to you. Contradiction. One in LaHashem Aretz Meloah. The other hand, it says Hashemayim Shemaretz Nosan Lishnei Adam. The Gemara answers Kan Koydim Bracha Kanacha Bracha. Before the bracha, it's Hashem's. If you make a bracha, you've earned it. You've earned it. You have fulfilled your mission in this world. You've come to this world to be makir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it and gave it to you. You've earned it. Oh, now you can make the bracha. If Hashem gives you man and you can't make a bracha, you have no satisfaction. Forget about the fact you didn't have crushing back-crushing labor to go schlep the water, but you haven't even done the bare minimum of acknowledge that this has come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You didn't make a bracha. No bracha, and you eat such a handout. Ad kedei kach. I didn't work, I get a handout, and I don't even make a bracha? That's the ultimate torture. That's vayamcha vayariveka. That's the ultimate torture.
Another that if the man is coming automatically to you, we know the whole Indian is of davening and everything, is that we have to
earn
constantly
it.
Ask.
Recognize,
the
right,
but
right.
It's coming automatically to us, so we don't have that, so
right,
that's
right.
The Inuy in itself, that we don't have to come on to develop the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because it's coming automatically.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The Nachash.
Yeah.
Of Fertoichal.
Right, doesn't have to earn it. It's there, it's readily available. There's no earning of its keep, and he doesn't have to do anything to him. There's no hakara of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the ultimate curse. So there's no satisfaction. Now, what about matzah? Matzah is the only, there's only these jokes that Jews, it's all about eating, right? Even I read this a few times in Holocaust, they have Holocaust memorials. So what do they do? Three things. They tried to destroy us.
Yeah.
We were saved.
But we were saved. Now let's eat. It's a joke. Let's eat. It's all about food. It's a joke. Judaism's all about food. Chanukah, Latkes, Purim, Hamantashen, Pesach, Matzah. It's all about food. Everything's about food. Okay. But the truth is, truth be told, there's only one mitzvah of eating in the entire Torah. Matzah. That's it. That's the only real obligation. Even korbanos, the achlu asher shakupa, that's not the akev. It's only lechatchila asher kupa. But the real deal, the real eating, the only time we really have mitzvah to eat is achilas matzah. That's the real food. And guess what? On matzah, you make two brachas. Not one bracha. It's the only food. Is there another food you make two brachas on? And that's what you make a brachas on mitzvah. The shechiyon. That's an event. That's a situation. But on the etzem food, asher kiddushan b'mitzvahs v'mitzvano al achilas matzah. And you make also hamoitzi. You make two brachas. Hamoitzi lechem min haaretz and asher al achilas matzah. Two brachas. Wow. That represents this idea. You've earned it. There's something very deep in the fact that you make on the matzah a double bracha. It represents that we in Mitzrayim we suffer the Kor HaBarzel. We were there for 210 years, 86 years of crushing labor, a total of 210 years, going back to the whole Agmas Nefesh of going down to Mitzrayim 430 years. To a certain degree, we've earned it. We've earned Yitzias Mitzrayim. We've earned the Geula. To some degree. Not 100%, of course. Halalu over the Zorah. Halalu over the Zorah. Ayin Panim LaTorah. And the entire episode of Yitzias Mitzrayim is captured in Matzah. Ki Gorshu Mimitzrayim Lo Yochlu L'Smameya. And you should never forget when we say in the Haggadah. The Haggadah is the Ikar. When you say Matzah Zushon Oichlu Mal Shum Moha. Al Shum Shlei Hispik B'tzekam L'Hachmetz Ad Shehigla Aleihem Melech Malchi Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Uga Olam. You know what Matzah is? Gilui Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself to us at that moment and took us out. Gili, it's now you think a poor man, it's for sure, it's poor. I am part of the Torah. But don't forget the Ikar. The Ikar is what we say in the Haggadah, Matzah Zushan Eichlem, Matzah is Gili Shechina. We earned that Gili Shechina. We earned it. It was earned. And to capture the essence that we earned it, what do? We make two brachas. Ah, very big difference. We have two types of mon. We have matzah mon, right? The matzah mon. 30 days. They complained on the 15th day of Iyar. Why it took them 30 days to complain? Because they had bread, pas basala, for 30 days. 30 days, what pas basala? They had matzah. And this matzah was called mon. Chazal tells us pas, it was called mon. That type of mon, they earned. And that type of mon, they made two brachas. The other type of mon, for the next 40 years, it was a different type of man. They were in the desert. It doesn't capture necessarily the essence of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The essence of Yitzias Mitzrayim is the matzah. This was sustenance in the desert. They're traveling. Because Baruch Hu is providing a maton, is providing their needs. And there, this is torture. Because there is no bracha. There is no satisfaction. There's no bracha means we didn't earn it. Now, think about it. Now, this really, I'm leaving you off, but look at the differences between these two types of breads. There is no poorer bread, more tasteless bread, or at least it's supposed to be like that, than matzah. Matzah is lechem oni. Poor man's bread. Nothing. You can't have any salt. It's just the bare minimum. Water and flour. No additives, no preservatives, no coloring.
Good matzah tastes good.
Good matzah tastes good because of the oven. Because of the oven and the technique of kneading the matzah, okay, whatever, where the flour comes from. But matzah is the bare bones, bare skeleton. And mon, chazal, anything you want. Any gourmet meal you can possibly fathom. You can possibly fathom, you can taste in the mon. That's one difference. Another difference. The man, look at this. The matzah lasted for 30 days. Rashi goes and makes a calculation, 61 meals. The number 60, okay, we're not doing the Aleph Beis, that's what we're up to, the Aleph Beis, the letter Samach. It's number 60 comes, represents the concept of Shlemus. Right. And the fact is, Bittel Baroy, Bittel, if you have a Batel B'Shishim, you have Tam, flavor is Batel B'Shishim. That represents the ultimate Bittel, which means 60 represents the ultimate Shlemus, where you are so independent, if someone comes into you, the Batel. Even if they're different than you, if they come in your midst, you knock them out. That's the koyach of 60. 60 is shleimus. That means the man lasted for a very significant period of time. If the Rashi goes through his calculation here in Pan Pevasik Aleph, is how long in the 30 days, and Rashi makes the calculation, it's a very bizarre Rashi. Rashi tells us why Nisparish Hayoim Shalchanit, it's explained, it's specified, the day where they came to rest, Lefish Zo, Lefish Shabo Bayom, Kolsa Hacharora Shehoitzil Mimitzran, the cakes they took out of Egypt came to an end. Ruchuluman, Lamadnu, look at this strange Rashi, Sheochlu Mishiori Habotzek, they left from the left. Leftovers of the flour, O Mishayore Hamatzah, Shishim the Achas Seudo, 61 meals. And then the Yorid Lohem Mon on the Tez Zayim, the next day they finally got the Mon. So what do we take out of this? So this is the Har I want to point out. The Mon, there are two types of Mon, clear. There's Matzah Mon and there's regular Mon. The Matzah Mon has no flavor. Matzah, lechem oni, nothing. It's tasteless. Poor man's bread. The regular mon has every flavor in the world. Yet, look at the difference. The tasteless matzah mon lasted for 61 meals. Now, I know, I want to take a step back. I know there's a famous chazal that the fact that, that the mon in the midbar only lasted one day is a maila. You have to rely upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu. MS, V'yatzif. I'm not coming to deny that. But there's ayin panim l'torah. Although it's true that the mon lasted and we have to come on to the Baruch Hu every single day, but ein doimer, Yishuv Hadas is worth everything. A person, Chazal say, pas besalo, if you have bread in your basket, you have a pension, you have a retirement fund, it's a different life. You're in a different frame of mind. There's security. You're a different person. You can serve Hashem on an entirely different level. If every single day you're struggling for survival, okay, I'm coming on, I have emunah. It's true, it's a very good thing. But there's a trade-off. The trade-off is daigus. Daigus is not a healthy thing in Ruchnias. It's not a healthy thing, it's a trade-off. Look at the bracha of the matzah. The matzah is tasteless. But yet the matzah lasted. It lasted for 61 meals. The ultimate in what you can expect something to last. Bread doesn't stay fresh more than a day today. Right? How long does bread stay fresh? The matzah, by the way, their matzah was not like our matzah. Their matzah was like a bread. It would normally turn stale. It was a thick bread. And it didn't. They were fresh bread for 61 meals. It lasted. Yishuv Hadas. Pasbisalo, they weren't complaining, and it was tasteless. And they made two brachas. They made two brachas, satisfaction. The mon didn't last only one day. Every single day, you had a daiga, what's going to be today? The mon, no bracha. The mon, it tasted, but it was delicious. What do you learn from this? You learn from this something that you earn. Okay, at this rate, I'm leaving you off. So, what's taka the difference? How do you understand this? And the difference lies in the fact that something which you earn is priceless. It will last. It has a kiyum. It'll give you yishuv hadas. You'll have satisfaction. You'll be able to make two brachas, even if it's tasteless. Man was the ultimate delicacy, the ultimate, but there's no yishuv hadas. There's no bracha. Doesn't last. Why? They didn't earn it. It was a handout. you see the chashivas in the two types of man. The contrast. They finish the leftovers for 60 days. Because we always think about man, one day. No, there's another man that lasted for 30 days. And that man was tasteless. But it was the ultimate, in every ultimate degree of satisfaction in the fact you made two brachas, you earned the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and in the fact that it provided the ultimate bracha you can have in this world of Yishuv Hadas. Pas Besala. Chazal say Pas Besala means Yishuv Hadas. You security, I have my security. Mon, it's wonderful, you rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you know, it's a big Nisayan. Many people have a hard time living that type of lifestyle. Yeah.
Just one clarification. It's very good, Jewish. When you said the matzah taste of mon, meaning it didn't have the comparable taste to the regular mon, if there was anything you wanted?
I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that. It's a chazal. I don't know how to.
That it was pas oni or whatever.
Well, on a very similar level, that's what it is. It's bread. It's lechem oni. It's poor man's bread. It's poor man's bread. Bread and water. Okay, so this had the mila that it, I don't know. I hear your question. But I don't.
So I don't explain that. Because it was gross. And you said
fish
did it have the comparable taste of the regular one? If so, and the comparison of earning and not earning. So
well, you gotta be careful how you say it. You have to finesse it. Okay.
Was there an urn of mun that was niknas?
Yes, then send us some mun.
If you find it, you're going to be the first one there and you're going to tell us.
Okay, let me tell you one more vart, one more short vart in honor of Tisha B'Av, in honor of, I'm sorry, I don't know why I said that. Why did I say that? Of Tu B'Shvat. Okay, Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat this year coincides with Parshas B'Shalach, obviously. Parshas Hamon. Now, when a person comes to the mon, as we mentioned, the mon is a very great nesayon. It's a very great gift. 40 years in the desert in Koilel. In Koilel, 40 years after work. And your parnos is provided, but it's scary. Your parnos is given every single day. Who says tomorrow? Where's the? There's no security. It's a very high level of living. It's difficult. It's a nesayon. Now let's go to Parshas Chukas, Bamidbar Chof Aleph. Okay, it's a short for though. I'm not going to keep you here much longer. Parshas Bamidbar, Perik Chof Aleph, Pasik He. Pasik says, Vayisu, here we also discuss the mon. We discuss the mon in this Pasik. Vayishma vayisu miharuch avderech yamsuf lispa ves eretz edoyim vatiksar nefesh ha'am badorech. They had enough. They ran out of steam. They ran out of gas. They're in the desert. It's difficult. Difficult life. Vayidaber ha'am be'elokim v'moyshe. And they complain. Lama helisunu mimitzrayim lamus bamidbar. Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to die in this desert? Ki ein lechem. There is no bread. What do you mean there's no bread? We got man. The ein mayim. There's no water. Oh, don't tell me we have man. The nafshenu kotza. Our soul detests. Wow. Strong word. Nafshenu kotza balechem hakilokel. This lightweight bread. We don't like it. We had enough of this. There's no waste. Scary pasuk. V'nev nafshin katzar af zel l'shon katzar nefesh umos. Disgusting rash. Umos balechem hakolokel, because there was no waste. All right. So what happened? What was their punishment for complaining? Vayishlach Hashem ba'am es hanechoshim hasrofim. Hashem sent snakes. Snakes, srofim, scorpions, whatever these are, I don't know what they are, srofim, vayinashichu esam, they bit the people, vayamos am rov, miyishram, many died. Vayavoham, they realized they made a big mistake, how dare we complain against the ultimate gift of the man. Vayavoham, el Moshe, vayamu chotonu, kidibanu vahashem vavoch, hispalelu Hashem, yosem elinu es hanochosh, vayispalelu Moshe be'adam, vayamu Hashem Moshe, asay lechos sorof. I want you to fashion a sod off out of copper. And the simol so al hanes put this sorof on a pole. The hoya kol hanoshuch, anyone that was bitten by the snake, by the nochosh, v'ra'o, so they'll look at the sorof for hoya and will live. Vayas Moshe nechash nechoshes, vayismir al hanes, v'hoya im noshach hanochosh es ish v'hibit el nechash hanochoshes for hoya, they would look at the nochosh and they would be healed. This nochosh lasted, I think, until the time of Chizkiah. Chizkiah went and he destroyed it because people began to worship it as an avodah zarah. Okay. Now, what is the significance of Tu B'Shvat? Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. So you'd expect, if you would not know otherwise, if you would live indoors, you'd never walk outside and see the world, you'd think, oh, it must be, if it's Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, if you go outside, there must be trees blossoming with beautiful fruit, right? Isn't that what you'd expect? If you're living in Mars, and they told you that on Earth, there's something called the Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, there are trees, so you think on Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, wow, spring, it's the first day of spring. You go outside today, I don't know, it's pretty cold out there. It's pretty cold, and I don't see any fruit, and the trees look pretty bare to me. And that's the way it is in the whole world, in the civilized world, Northern Hemisphere, that's the way it is on Tu B'Shvat. So what's going on? So who is this Kasha? Rashi is this Kasha. Rashi, Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And what is Rashi? There are different Rashi. Rashi says different things at different places. Rashi tells Rashi, you know what the significance is? It's hidden. The significance of Tu B'Shvat is on this day, Tu B'Shvat, or this time of the year, Ola Seraf B'Ilan. Seraf. Sap. Sin Reish Pei. The Seraf ascends within the tree. The sap develops. The tree is cooking. The sap, the winter, the roots absorb the water, and the tree, some chemical reaction has taken place in the tree. In order for a fruit to develop, the critical ingredient is the sap, this magical ingredient in the tree. And now in Tu B'Shvat, all systems go. The sap ascends through the bark, through the stem of the tree, the trunk of the tree, and now the blossoming is ready to go. Ola Seraf B'Ilan. So the drush is, we have here in Parashas Chukas, Klal Yisrael bitterly complain about the man. What's the punishment? A Seraf. What's the refuah? The refuah is Aselcha Seraf. Put it up and let the people look up. Let them raise their eyes. Rashi says, what's the purpose of looking up? Al Nes, on a pole. Al Kulnos, Shekorin, whatever. V'chein Kanos, what's the purpose? Kolon Ashuch, Afilu Kelef, Oichamar. Noishchoi Hoyon Nizoik, Umis. Rashi says, what's the Amar Rabbo saying? V'chi nochosh meine somechaya ella bezman she yisrael mistaklim klapi malo, when they would look at the sorof on the tree, on the nace, on the pole, klapi malo umishabdin eslibam leavim sheba shamayim, when they look up, it reminds them that it's not the poisonous snake that kills. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam who is Bashamayim. He is the one that has control to bring death and life. Hayu Misrabim V'im Lav Hayu Nimogim. They would not look up and be makir. Looking up is symbolic of coming to be makir. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in control. That is the significance of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat always coincides with Parshas B'Shalach. It's usually either a few days after, or this week we got lucky, it's the same day. It's always together. Why is Tu B'Shvat and Parshas B'Shalach go together? Because on Parshas B'Shalach we are introduced to the Mon. And when we're introduced to the Mon, it's not just the Mon, we are introduced in this world to the concept of Parnasa. That there is Parnasa, and Parnasa comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you could do all the ishtalos you want, you still need the siyata d'shmaya, the hatzlocha of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be successful in Yoni Parnasa. And Parnasa is extremely frustrating. Even the smartest of the smart and the most talented, it's frustrating. The Gemara says, be'itzavon tochal melechem, it's more frustrating than labor. A woman gives birth, she's in terrible pain, be'etzev tel dibanim. But Parnasa, be'itzavon, it's written b'loshon rabim, double, it's more painful, Parnasa, than it is for a woman to give birth. Women think, we suffer the most. No, the one one that makes the parnasa suffers the most. It's very frustrating. It's poison. It's sarof. And the only way a person, and Klal Yisrael, they made that complaint. And what did they do when they made that complaint? What did Klal Yisrael do when they made that complaint? They were bitten by the snakes. And what was the solution? The solution was, don't complain. Just work on your emuna. Together with your hishtadlus, of course it's hishtadlus, no one's a fool to think that it's going to come with, you can say the parash saman, and then $1 million will just come out of the sky. Together with the hishtadlus, you have to have emuna, and then you'll be okay. You got to work on it. Together, the combination is a winning combination. Hishtadlus and emuna. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu told them when they complain about their parnas, about the man. We don't like the man, which means we're having a hard time with parnasa. Moshe said, if you complain, you're going to be bitten. Instead, look up to Shemayim. Parshas B'Shalach, we are introduced to the sugya of parnasa. And in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remind us that Parnasa, the lessons of Parnasa of the Mon that appear in Parash B'Shalach are applicable in our times, he also gave us a living Parashas B'Shalach. What's the living Parash B'Shalach? It's Tu B'Shvat. And what happens on Tu B'Shvat? Sorof goes up. We are forced on Parashas B'Shalach to be makir, the Sorof is going up in the trees. And that reminds us of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, asay l'cha sarof, v'sim oso al nes, and look up. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, it's not the nachash that's name is sumachaya, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam, and take that sarof and make it high and look up, so do you have to be makir, it's not you. It's not the parnasa that's killing you. What's killing you is your lack of emuna. You have to have this combination of a proper blend of shtalus and emuna. The sim also al nes is exactly what Tu B'Shvat is. It's the sorof is oila bi'ilan. The sorof, the sap, that's those same letters, which is merames on the sorof of Moshe, is oila bi'ilan, is going up. We have to go follow it up. Where are we following it up? We're following it up to Shemayim. All the way to heaven to be makir. What's going up in the tree today is reminding us to look up to Shemayim, to be makir the Ribbono Shel Olam. From him will come the parnasa, if only we will have emuna. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful Shabbat Shira.
Excuse me.
Ashir la Hashem ki go'oga tomorrow.